96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome to the best day of the year, Halloween. Good morning. It is Tuesday, the 31st of October, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. And happy Halloween. We have lots and lots to talk about this morning, including a three-ticket giveaway. We're giving away three single tickets to the Rotary Club of East Nassau Halloween party, their old school Halloween boat cruise. I've got three Halloween related trivia questions for you. Very easy to win a ticket today. All of the answers are Googleable. Very easy to find. Well, let's start the show. I got to start the show by saying good morning to the Montague Coconut Boys. Last week, I took a moment to talk about my experience with them and take my oath to the Billy Goat. The Coconut Boys made amends. They fixed the situation. This is a good thing. They were reasonable and they moved the coconuts. They were respectful and polite. They must have known what I was wearing for my Halloween costume today because they called me Mom. They said, yes, Mom. Sorry, Mom. I love it. Let me tell you why. See, this is the Bahamas, and crime is going to happen. In fact, any country, not singling the Bahamas out, any country, crime is going to happen. And that's because many people can't get good paying jobs. Simple, for whatever reason. It's their fault, no fault of their own. They were born into poverty. It don't matter. The point is that it's going to happen. What we cannot tolerate is people terrorizing other people. That's what we cannot tolerate. See, that's when you become a heinous criminal. It's when you got to terrorize people. And so I want to repeat again, the Coconut Boys made amends. They were reasonable, they were respectful and polite. They called me Mom in a way that made me feel good. Not bad. But these guys need help. They need help legitimizing their operations. They need help structuring it. They need help figuring out how to extract the maximum value from the coconuts. They need help with a regularized system of purchasing coconuts or capturing coconuts. We need somebody to facilitate the relationship so people who have coconut trees and don't want their coconuts can trade the coconuts to these guys for cleaning the tree. Very simple. And they need mulches. And they need little trailers to carry the coconuts on the back of the car so they stop destroying these vehicles, toting coconuts all over the place.
Maybe we need a coconut czar appointed in the Bahamas. Independent.
And look at you, looking at my cars. You know, I just come off the boat from the island and I'm ready to be the coconut czar. I am quite ready. If you may not have noticed by now, I got on a Halloween costume.
You look great. For those of you who can't see Erin, she looks so good.
Y'all defeating the pipe. Anyway,
she looks good.
Somebody told me if you wear a costume, you can get candy. And I just need y'all in the Bahamas and listening to the sound of my voice to know that I fulfilled my end of the contract.
If you're able to see Guiding Radio TV, right, at this present time, you can see Aaron wearing a dress. It's a big thing. It's a big thing. I haven't seen Aaron in a dress for decades.
And Rosie, too.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a clinging dress. So it shows off her... See, the phone started ringing. Ready. It shows off... I don't even know what
this is.
What
the
to
most
say.
Decent woman dress I could find in New Providence.
I did not know you were shapely.
I'm an island woman.
Yeah.
That's my costume. And the most important part is I fulfilled my part of the contract.
So what island shape is that?
I tell you, I'm size Andrus.
That's Andrus.
Yeah. You don't mind that part.
Yeah.
This is the part here.
But you look good here.
If you see me in my Halloween costume,
mm-hmm.
I expect candy. And when you see me, you're going to know it's a costume because this is like Brigadoon. For those of us that grew up on ZNS, you see something spectacular, but once every 100 years, today is your day.
So, Aaron, you know how the whole candy thing came into being on Halloween? Well, you know, it was originally a Celtic tradition called Samhain. I hope I'm pronouncing it properly. Mm. So at the end of the summer, after the harvests were done, they prepared for the cold, dark winter, right?
Yes.
And so this was the time that they talked about the spirits, you know, the difference between alive and death. And so when the Christian church got promulgated, Pope, I think, Leo III, because he saw this was quite a popular thing, he created All Hallows Night, which was kind of a competition to, you know, to get the pagans involved. And then All Hallows Eve. And the reason they put the food down is to appease the spirits so they don't enter your house.
Absolutely.
So that's your candy.
That's what I'm saying. That's why you all need to provide me with my candy.
Because
this is a reckless spirit and you all need to appease me. Anyway, that leads us to our first trivia question for the day for the Rotary Club of East Nassau Old School Halloween Boat Cruise on Friday, November the 3rd, on board Blackbeard's Revenge, Bahamas. It's going to be a great night. It's a fundraiser for the Rotary Club of East Nassau, and all proceeds will go towards RCN's community service projects, and some of those projects include programs that support young people. So here is the first question. Again, it's very easily Googleable. According to the Irish legend, where does the term Jack-o'-lantern come from? According to the Irish legend, where does the term Jack-o'-lantern come from? The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720. For people calling from the Family Islands. If you're from the Family Islands, you could still win the ticket and give it to somebody in New Providence. The text line, 422-GR96, that's 422-4796, the trivia question. According to the Irish legend, where does the term jack-o'-lantern come from? Good morning. All right. So.
No idea.
Another quick note.
Yeah. No idea.
There was an earthquake in Jamaica yesterday.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
5.4 on the Richter scale, 30 kilometers off the east coast, I think, of Jamaica. They had some infrastructural damage in Jamaica. Social media is on fire with videos documenting the aftermath of the earthquake. I even saw a video, my Jamaican friends don't play. They have soundtrack, they have new songs out already about the earthquake. It's gonna be a Hurricane Gilbert all over again, and we look forward to it. We don't look forward to the earthquake, that part, let's put that aside. The genius of our people, our cousins in Jamaica, they entrench everything into culture by making a song about it. That's why we got to be grateful for a boy named Solo Made, right? And he's taking on that role in our society. He documents everything that happens in song, all of the important political issues in a way that you can remember them, always find them, and they're easily entrenched into culture.
Which part of Jamaica was hit this time? You know, there was a big earthquake in 1907.
That was, mm-hmm. Port Royal, 1907.
Yeah. I think that Port Royal. No, I think that was the one in the 18th century, but there was one in 1907 that was in Kingston, which was like about roughly seven. So that's not that much more than that. But that caused significant damage. Buildings were destroyed. So we're so lucky we're not on that on that fault line.
But you know, I think we're still close enough to the fault line that we should be preparing at the
for
policy
tsunami.
Level,
possibly for a tsunami. Yeah.
Yeah, and but also. At a sort of a lower risk level, right? Structures, Turks and Caicos, the southern
Inagua,
and the southwest islands, they now need to consider they need teams to come in and assess whether any structural damage has occurred to their homes, damage that may be exacerbated by tremors in the future, or that may have weakened the integrity of a structure that makes it vulnerable to hurricanes, high winds, right? Taking off the roof and twisting the structure of the building. So like all of these things at the national level, at the policy level, somebody should be paying attention to tracking and ensuring all of the different agencies and elements are aware, right? The same thing when we saw this increase in tornadic activity, when we saw the increase in tornadoes, right? In the archipelago. We now don't just talk about hurricane season.
Yeah.
We talk about hurricanes and tornadoes and water spouts and the potential damage. And are people prepared? Do we know how to respond in the incident? Do we understand? Do we have tornado warnings? Will people respond? Are they sufficiently alert to understand that, okay, this is a warning of some sort, and then what do we do next? Do our hotels have plans? You have to have an evacuation plan that's posted at virtually every entryway in the hotel, the elevators, the stairs. Do we have similar plans in case of a tornado?
Well, we do have National Emergency Management
Agency,
NEMA, right?
Yeah.
Who's responsibility should be all emergencies, earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, tsunamis. So I'm assuming that there is a plan does exist. And the reason why I said we're assuming, right, if the plan does exist, the Bahamian people should know the plan. Like, if this happens, if a tsunami happens in the southern Bahamas because of an earthquake in Jamaican region, right, from that fault, and it caused considerable damage, loss of life, what is the immediate response from NEMA? What do we expect to do? What is our reaction here in New Providence? Say, well, okay, NEMA has enacted their alert. Our job is now to drop off this, to call this person's. Where can I get a who will be responsible for relaying information to me here in the capital to say that my family is okay?
Yeah.
Now, what is the plan for that?
Right.
Even
it's
in
a
terms
communications
of
communications plan.
Even in terms of a tornado in a subdivision like, God forbid, Pinewood, with all those houses close to each other, right? Where tornadoes just sweep through. There could be scores of houses being destroyed. What is the plan? How do we respond to that as a citizen who says, but I want to help? Why sit and wait and say, okay, you all just tell me.
What I'm not sure about, because I know there is a national plan which deals with that, but what I don't know is the detail, the detail you're referring, which is like a work plan or a sort of an emergency plan that step by step that you would implement when something happened. So I'm not aware whether it exists in that detail, but there is a general plan that covers the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
I guess that plan is to respond. Whatever that is, respond.
Yeah. And what do tornado shelters look like in places with low lying to sea level and limestone rock that's difficult to cut through? Like in Kansas, every movie you watch about a tornado in the U.S., somebody runs
downstairs
into their hurricane shelter underground. What do we do? What type of hurricane shelter is most applicable to our geography, right, in our landscape?
So it seems I saw in the paper today that there's a plan to relocate Parliament to where the old post office was.
Yes.
So they love to do big things for government, but you know they won't build a single shelter, a government shelter per se,
and a dedicated primary function hurricane shelter, and then auxiliary functions. Right, everything is auxiliary functions, something else, and then it could be a hurricane shelter.
I find
that
frustrating because you know these big projects, and they don't. You know, okay, they don't need a new House of Parliament. It's not urgent per se, but I think it's really urgent that we have public shelters. In at least one government shelter in each district, or even if we could just have it in each family island, that would be a start.
And what does it do to the psychological development of young people, knowing they live in a hurricane zone, knowing they live in a country that's prone to get hit by a hurricane every 3 years, 4 years minimum, and you don't see your government taking steps to provide infrastructure for things that they know are going to happen. I want to take a quick pause here. Mm-hmm. Well, before we pause, I got a text for you, Mr. Newry.
Yeah.
It says, Cecil, God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
I admire your faith. I remember 2 or 3 days before Hurricane Irma was scheduled to hit Ragged Island, a reporter asked Stephen Russell about evacuations, and his response, this is quoted by the texter, quote, I'm going back to my office to write the plan now, close quotes. I don't know if Stephen Russell said that.
But at least he wrote the plan. So let's say then a plan was written, and there's something to look forward to, that we now have a written plan, because he went there in his office
absolutely
to do it.
We also have a winner to the first trivia question.
Yeah.
Texter number, last 4 digits, 8840. I will text you for the details on how to pick up your ticket. The answer, here's the answer. Irish legend has it that this use of jack-o'-lantern was named after a fellow named Stingy Jack. According to the story, Stingy Jack invited the devil to have a drink with him. True to his name, Stingy Jack didn't want to pay for his drink, so he convinced the devil to turn himself into a coin that Jack could use to buy their drinks. Once the devil did so, Jack decided to keep the money and put it into his pocket next to a silver cross, which prevented the devil from changing back into his original form.
Sounds reasonable.
Jack eventually freed the devil under the condition that he would not bother Jack for 1 year, and that should Jack die, he would not claim his soul. The next year, Jack again tricked the devil into climbing into a tree to pick a piece of fruit. While he was up in the tree, Jack carved a sign of the cross into the tree's bark so that the devil could not come down, until the devil promised Jack not to bother him for 10 years. Soon after, Jack died. As the legend goes, God would not allow such an unsavory figure into heaven. The devil, upset by the trick Jack had played on him and keeping his word not to claim his soul, would not allow Jack into hell. He sent Jack off into the dark night with only a burning coal to light his way. Jack put the coal into a carved-out turnip and has been roaming the earth with it ever since.
Interesting.
And they began to refer to this ghostly figure as Jack of the Lantern, and then simply Jack O'Lantern. Okay, here's the second trivia question. Throw out the numbers first. 3236232, 3254316, 3254259, 242-300-5720 for Family Island residents, 422-GR96, that's 422-4796 for the text line. Before I throw out the second trivia question, let me tell you all this. This is my trick or treat. If you see me in a dress and you laugh and you don't give me any candy, you're getting tricked. So we might as well make this a treat for the both of us. Yes, ma'am. Y'all hear that music playing? Producer, we're going to a break? We're going to go to a break, and when we get back from the break, I'm going to send out the second. In fact, let me throw it out right now. What days in the Christian calendar are associated with Halloween? I only need one of the multiple days. What days in the Christian calendar are associated with Halloween? You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Stay tuned in. We're going to a break. We'll be right back. And call Ghostbusters!
The girls. I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Girl,
You see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm is all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call her text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Flashlight coming down, 4:30 in the morning, man. Look yo, man, I see crime. I almost get catty. My wife come looking for me with a face so vexed. She say, what you doing down
by the beach?
From 9 till
4:30,
I was picking some
Benjamin
to make us some.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. That's right, I'm going on a ghost move and nobody would believe you if you told them you saw me, it was me and I was in a dress. They just wouldn't believe you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you make a ghost move. We got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. How you do?
Yeah, you think like, are you playing Michael Jackson? How are you? And we got our own behemoth talking about ghost move.
Don't worry, you're throwing it all in there.
Oh, yeah. Got your boy, Tony McKay. When I first used to listen to you, you played Tony earlier, I think it was. Or you were right.
No, no.
Nah, that song used to scare me when I was a little boy.
Which one, Reincarnation?
Yeah, when he talking.
Yeah.
You know, he did that before Africa. The guy named your friend with the Africa car. That's his name.
Say it again?
Alfred Hitchcock.
Alfred Hitchcock, like. Yeah.
Yeah, he produced a lot of horror movies back in the past.
Yeah, they did a television show, but he's there's a series of short stories. And
right. When and he had a voiceover.
Uh-huh.
Tony song, Death Like That.
Yeah.
I don't know if...
I got it on the list.
Oh, you got... I mean, who are you guys? Got new reunions?
Mr. Palmer. But he stepped out for a moment.
Okay, Palmer would write. That's time I'm missing. Sorry about that, Palmer. Palmer would remember what I'm talking about.
Yeah, he stepped out for a moment.
Man, I used to love watching his movies.
Yeah, and I used to read the short stories all the time.
Yeah, the short stories and all of that. Ain't no horror like the old horror, you know.
I almost with you. Because they're psychological horrors. It's not blood and gore.
No.
You scare in yourself.
Yeah.
With your own thoughts, yeah.
Yeah, you got it. But man, one movie I watched, I couldn't sleep that night. My oldest brother watched it. I played like a man, like I'm scared, right?
Yeah.
Really throw that blanket up, but when I see the ghost, he bite my head underneath that blanket, right?
That's right.
You know, I don't. I had a blanket. Why you want a blanket? It's so hot, man.
I got another caller. And
yeah, you got another one, but that's what, we talk more about this all the time.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
I don't celebrate Halloween. But be careful out there.
But buddy, you got that right. Everybody can be careful tonight. Thank you so much. Good morning, caller. Caller, we just miss you. I just gone to you. What's your favorite? What's the first scary movie you watch, Mark?
Oh, The Ring.
All right.
The Ring was scary.
The first scary movie I watched was The Fog. When I was like 5, I was not supposed to be watching it.
I remember something came out.
Oh, actually, Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm pretty sure that was the first one.
Yeah. Sorry, caller, we missed you. Okay, I've got an answer.
But you know, The Ring, you know what happens? You get this phone call, right? Mm-hmm. And then you only live 24 hours.
Yeah.
I remember I watched with my kids, and when it finished, the phone rang.
Oh, we boy.
All ran into the bedroom screaming.
You're a good dad. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Something up with the phone line. Okay, we've got a winner to the second question. The second question was what days in the Christian calendar are associated with Halloween? All Saints Day, mm-hmm. which is also known as All Hallows Day, right, is November 1st, the day
tomorrow.
After.
Mm-hmm.
And then the day after that is All Souls Day, right? Mm-hmm. So All Hallows Eve is today. All Hallows Eve,
mm-hmm.
All Halloween. Tomorrow is All Hallows Day, also known as All Saints Day, November 1st, and November 2nd is All Souls Day. Now, some people say that these days were created to integrate sacred pagan traditions that usually took place on or around October 31st mm-hmm. into Christianity in hopes of getting pagans to convert. All Saints Day is celebrated to remember all saints and martyrs during Christian history, and All Souls Day is to commemorate those who have passed within the faith. Very important Christian history.
If we're looking to our neighbors in the north, it was only brought over in the 19th century by immigrants, you know,
yes.
from Ireland and the UK. So it's kind of not that old, really. Mm-hmm. And it became more of a community thing rather than
Absolutely.
The original.
Producer, a request from Pumpkin Eater for Reincarnation, but I got a request for that Ancient Man song on the list. Let me throw out the third question. Oh, the winner is the last four digits of their cell phone is 8076. That's 8076. I'll contact you after the show for details on how to pick up your ticket. Here is the third question. In what American state is it illegal to be a priest or a nun for Halloween? In what American state is it illegal to be a priest or a nun for Halloween? The numbers to call 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 from the Family Islands, text line 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Wow, I got an answer as quick as that. Okay. Guys, these texters are on it this morning. The answer is Alabama. According to Section 13A14(4), quote, whoever being in a public place fraudulently pretends by garb or outward array to be a minister of any religion, or no, you can't even be a Rasta, you can't be a shaman. Ah, boy, you can't be a Rasta priest. A nun, priest, rabbi, or other member of the clergy is guilty of a misdemeanor and upon conviction shall be punished by a fine not exceeding $500 or confinement in the county jail for not more than 1 year or by both such fine and imprisonment.
See, somebody has to challenge that. As soon as somebody challenges, they'll change that law. Because remember what happened recently in California? A woman was trying to sell her child on eBay. And that was perfectly legal as far as eBay is concerned. But there was a law in California that said you could not sell your children. It wasn't illegal under Californian statutes. So the law, the legislators went in and changed the law immediately so that they could block her sale of this child on eBay. And
so
that was quite recent.
She was trying to sell a child on eBay.
And eBay had no rules to prevent that. And there was no law in California that forbade it. So they changed the law quickly to stop her from selling her child on eBay.
Wow.
That's something, because it was perfectly... So until you challenge these laws...
Right.
Priest goes in and challenges the law in front of the court, it's never going to get convicted, right?
Right, but what's more fascinating is why the law.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. What do you
what
think?
What happened in Alabama to cause them to say that you cannot parade around town dressed like they abducting people under the guise, you know, pretending to be a priest and abducting people? Wow. Is it to cut back on fraudulent, it seems so odd, religious activity?
It does.
But
there has to be a very strange sponsoring thought that. Behind that. Yeah.
All right. So the answer to that question was Alabama. We've given away the 3 tickets to the Rotary Club of East Nassau Old School Halloween Boat Cruise on Friday, November 3rd on Blackbeard's Revenge, Bahamas. Tickets are $40 for Rotarians, $50 for and Rotorack members, $50 for non-Rotarians. Alpha Sounds is playing the music. Jimmy Wines is bringing the spirits. And y'all can bring the rest of the spirits on the boat. Boat launches at 7, returns to the harbor at 11, Pioneer Dock, East Bay Street. Again, look for Blackbeard's Revenge.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
We never do things like that, do we, generally speaking?
That's because we discriminate against all people at Halloween. And people are going to say, but this is equitable, right? Because now children get a space that's good for them. Mark, have you ever seen a Halloween costume from the early 20th century?
Mm-mm. No. What do they look like?
Scary. If you follow...
No nurses, firemen, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but scary. Looking nurses. It's really fascinating to watch the evolution of the Halloween costume trick-or-treating practice, because the costumes... I mean, they would really scare you. You get it now that you had to be brave to be out on the street collecting candy, because you didn't know if you were looking at a child in a kid's costume, if you were looking at a ghost, a specter, or something. That's how, like, poorly shaped, handmade costumes. But then some of them just look scary.
So yeah. Do you remember when we used to trick-or-treat back in the day, you know, when we were kids? There were all these stories going around that, you know, neighbors put razor blades into
and
the apples. Do you remember
stuff.
All that?
And right. I don't...
I mean, did that was that ever any truth behind that? But we were all pretty scared.
Yeah. We know that it happened in communities in the U.S. Mr. Newry, do you remember... Because I remember people saying that, yes, they found, like, apples with razor blades in it. But maybe it was, like, other students doing it. But I've never experienced that myself.
But now it's very sad.
Yeah, I never experienced it myself. But but we adopt American culture. So the idea that it happened in Miami, it
could have happened right here.
In Bahamas, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But Mark, you're saying that it's that behavior is trending now?
No. It's just I remember back from the past. We used to talk about it as kids, you know, because there was always one neighbor or one or two neighbors that we didn't like who were mean.
Right, and we'd say that's what they were doing.
And that they would do, and that if you went to their house, you had to be careful.
That was probably our house, because my mother was a volunteer at Red Cross, and so...
So it was your house.
Candied apples. Right, okay. Candied apples, popcorn,
I didn't
and
know you
raisins.
Looked in life, Ricky.
Mm-hmm.
And raisins. That's what... My mother used to give people on Halloween.
No candy?
I mean, there would be a little candy, but then when the candy ran out, there's candied apples.
My gosh.
Popcorn, and we always had raisins. We had always had a little mini pack of raisins. And in my mother's head, that's sweet like a candy.
I remember a friend of mine, right? He didn't get any candy at all, and he was giving the kids tins of tuna fish and sardine and stuff like that, and it was so upset. They were like throwing it back.
On a side note, is Blair having Halloween this? I need to take the child someplace.
I know there's going to be in the mall.
In the mall?
Definitely Mall of Marathon.
Oh, okay.
That's what with Sandyport.
That's why I tested
out. Yeah, Sandyport don't let me come in the gates no more.
They don't?
No, oh, okay. They have a picture of me. Anyway, let me just scrap that. Let's move on.
Put me in the car.
Yeah. I can make it slide in.
Yeah.
I'm able to come pick you up.
Come pick me up.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping, you know, there's been over the last decade, there's been a sort of crime trending up in Blair, so people coming through. And so I'm not surprised that some residents are hesitant to sort of open their yards to to random people, even though they're trick-or-treaters.
But, and the age range in Blair changed. Before they had young children, now they have teenagers going into adulthood in that area.
Yeah. That's why it's always important to have new people come into your community. Mm-hmm. So there's always trick-or-treating parents in there. So us adults have a better chance of getting candy. I'm just saying, maybe I'm an overgrown child. Another text. Alabama is the Deep South. Think the worst of religious conservatism. Mm. Indeed. Indeed. Mm. Okay. I got another quick story.
Wasn't the Ku Klux Klan a Christian organization?
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, it still exists, and it's still a Christian organization. So I found this question. Is the word spooky a slur? You know, I'm always trying to... I'm always measuring my words and ensure I'm trying to ensure that I don't offend anyone on the show. And so this question popped up and I'm saying, how could spooky be a slur? And so I found this article from 2017. What does it mean to call something spooky? So spook can refer to a spy or a ghost, right? And sometimes it's a racial slur for black people.
Really?
Yeah.
You're spook.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I just run through the sort of the evolution of the word. Spook comes from the Dutch word for apparition or specter. The noun was first used in English around the turn of the 19th century. Over the next few decades, it developed other forms like spooky, spookish, and of course the verb to spook. From there, it seems the word lived a relatively innocuous life for many years. It wasn't until World War II that the word spook took on, that it started to refer to black people. The black army pilots who trained at the Tuskegee Institute were referred to as the Spukwaffe, being the German word for weapon or gun. Luftwaffe was the name of the German Air Force. Once the word spook was linked to blackness, it wasn't long before it became a recognizable, if second-tier, slur.
Can I correct you? It's Waffe.
It's Waffe?
Yeah.
I have no problem with that. Spukwaffe.
There you go.
And Luftwaffe.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But that wasn't the end of the story for spook. The word had a renaissance in the 70s in the infamous movie, classic film, the release of the novel... The Spook Who Sat by the Door by Sam Greenlee. Both the book and the movie tell the fictional story of the first black man recruited and trained by the CIA. The only thing I question there is fictional. The man, that man goes through his training, works for a while, quits the job, moves back to Chicago, where he secretly trains a group of young black freedom fighters. It says the title of the movie, of course, refers to spook, meaning both black person and spy, and as a satirical piece of literature written by an African-American author in the years following the civil rights movement, the use of spook was infused with an extra dose of irony to me. And then the writer says, why use spook when you can use words like aghast, blood-curdled, spine-chilled, right? There's just a plethora of words that you could use to replace that.
Remind me what average... We're here in the Bahamas, education-wise.
Man, you don't mind that. We good with our words. We just don't know how to apply them to test.
Those are pretty big words, Aaron. You can't...
Producer, play that song by Ancient Man. Former, please. And it's really a... This is a sort of a global North, a North American story, right? And so the writer says, look, if you are around a bunch of black people, don't use the word.
Right.
Just be respectful and sensitive.
This is deep. I mean, a lot of these things you just don't know.
Yeah.
When you dig into these common used words, that it's remarkable, really.
Absolutely. Pumpkin Eater, this is another one for you, but by a Bahamian.
With the main purpose of spreading reconscript throughout the universe. At the age of 8, it obtained the powers to see beyond the living and enter the realms of the dead. This is what it saw, and this is what it said.
I saw one bugger the other night. Lord, it was drunk and high as a kite. Did the hand do foot and the head was bald. I saw a bugger the other night. Great God, the bugger I saw that night. Lord, it was drunk and high as a kite. Did the hand do foot and the head was bald. I saw a bugger the other night. And he bid us swim from Cat Island that day to attend the funeral of my Grammy May, who passed away at 108. I know Grammy living in heaven today. I saw one bugger the other night. Lord, it was drunk and high as a kite.
That's Ancient Man.
Whoa, I'd never heard that song before.
Yeah,
and awesome.
It feels like a tribute to Tony McKay.
Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, the beginning, Michael Jackson probably took that for his Thriller. That introduction where he's talking.
Yeah, I think so as well. Yeah, because Tony McKay and a number of Bahamians and Caribbean people were in that space in New York, in a music-making space. I mean, Chris Blackwell was here making music. We were intimately a part of that space. So I'm not surprised that Jordan Peele, his latest release, Nope, the movie, the horror movie Nope, was inspired by Tony McKay, right? And his work and his music. I think we can end the show with that song by Tony McKay.
So now, does anyone use Boogerman anymore? You ever hear that much these days? That tends to be, it seems like an older phrase.
It's definitely.
Maybe by the older generation.
It's definitely an older phrase. Mr. Nuri, do you hear people using the term the boogerman to talk about ghosts, to warn children?
Not necessarily, you know. But what impresses me is that the term boogerman is throughout the Caribbean. It's throughout America, throughout UK. So I'm assuming that it's a British concept. And the idea that it still exists still, and it's permeated throughout all these different cultures. That tells a tale on how important this creature was back then. It traversed history and time.
I think the boogerman is like the Chicchani, like a cautionary tale to warn children of the dangers of not doing what children are supposed to be doing, right? Or doing things that children shouldn't be doing.
I remember when I was young, I was terrified of the boogerman.
Yeah.
The boogerman was real to me.
Not
necessarily now. I'm not sure if Bahamian children are aware that there is such a thing as a boogeyman, and that it's out there. You know, these children are not afraid of anything.
All right.
They watch horrors.
I got another, no ticket involved. There's no prize for this, but I got another question to throw out. Halloween related. In the Bahamas, we warn our children about the dangers of the Chicchani. We tell them about the Chicchani.
Yes.
Don't go out late at night.
And that's mostly in Andros, but yes.
Right.
That's still done.
In Long Island, they don't have the Chicchani. What do they have in Long Island?
Mind you, I should know this.
Mm-hmm.
I should know this because I heard this recently, but I do not know.
Where's the Wahoo? Wahoo is
Abaco.
Abaco. Chicchani is Andros.
Yeah.
Long Island has its own cautionary tale, its own
ghost spirit type thing.
Right, I won't call it mythical because I think that disrespects people who believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's the jack-o'-lantern.
That's very, but they're from loyalist stock, right? So I guess they'll embrace American concept. So jack-o'-lantern.
Right. And so the story was told to me was that when you don't go out at night by yourself, you don't go out night not knowing where you're going, and you don't go out at night on any weird missions, because you're going to go out at night and you're following a light, but the jack-o'-lantern is tricking you, and you follow the jack-o'-lantern light instead of the light you're supposed to be following. And
it's like Wrecking. You follow the ship and the light and you can crash the ship.
Right. You end up in the hands of the jack-o'-lantern, and you don't want that.
I mean, it does make a lot of sense, because if you said to your kids, oh, go out because it's not safe, they're like, whatever. But back in the day, if you said, you know, the boogeyman, the wahoo, or whatever.
And Long Island just get light in 92.
So be talking.
They just get light in 92, man. So I can imagine them following light in the middle of the night. Yeah.
Now, the person also went on to say that you will wake up standing on your head in Haiti. I thought that was interesting, too, right? Because the same way we want to know the roots, why the law in Alabama, I want to know why there is this sentiment in Long Island towards Haitian migrants.
I have stories about that, right? And the stories is about mulatto Haitians, right? Mm. Mulatto Haitians coming post 1784, which is a loyalist time. And they attempted to take over the island in terms of wealth and organization.
Mm-hmm.
So they expel all of the mulatto Haitians out of the off the island.
Yeah.
Right? Names such as the Arville was considered a mulatto Creole name. Of course, it changed to Arville since then. Yeah. But that is a narrative that is being told about the relationship with Long Island people have with Haitians back in the day.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. It's a story.
Yeah.
So I assume, I remember once upon a time with slavery and the Haitian Revolution, they told Bahamian slaves that don't listen to, well, there's a law that you couldn't read and hear about the revolution in general.
Yeah.
But they're saying that Haitian people were kidnapping Bahamian kids and shrinking their heads in the mountains of Haiti.
Yeah.
So we got terrified of Haitians back then too.
Yeah.
But this was early 1800s, going to mid 1800s, saying don't get kidnapped or go to Haiti because you can get shrunken head. Don't try escape and go to that free land of Hispaniola.
Yeah.
So that narrative's there also.
And that's how these things start. There's always a route somewhere. There's always a route. Now, we didn't really get to talk about news yet, but let me tell you all about one scary story I saw.
That one in Centerville where the trees come alive and the house had all kind of stuff and stuff?
No, and the texter said their answer was, there are werewolves in Long Island on Boggy Swamp. Right? Now, the story isn't father accused of molesting daughter's alienated children from family court hears. That is a horror in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But it's $21 million cost overrun for BPL power plant. Mm-hmm. What a scary story.
Two words ring to mind, sailors and drunken.
The total investment to bring Bahamas Power and Light's BPL Station A power plant online with 132 megawatts of generation assets ballooned from $96.9 million to $117.9 million, a cost overrun of $21 million. And the figure continues to grow with no clear end in sight as many serious issues continue to come to light. Minister of Energy and Transport, JoBeth Colby-Davis, told the House of Assembly yesterday. Mm-hmm. I just want to stick a pin there. Today is the day to say, Aaron, you were correct. See, because I wear an address. It only going to happen every 100 years, so you'll forget it quickly. You ain't going to have to remember it, but you should say it. You should say, Aaron, you were correct. Something terrible is happening at BPL, and we should all meet at Frank Watson Boulevard and C-1622 Avenue, that intersection right there, to figure out what it is. What do you mean it overrun $21 million? You're not finished yet taking money out of the treasury for it, and nobody has said that the 7 Wärtsilä engines have been formally placed in a structure that will allow them to run on their schedule, right? Nobody has said that yet. But what you have said is that, and the figure continues to grow with no clear end in sight. Now, you didn't say that, JoBeth Colby. That's what the story said. I believe the story.
It seems that government contracts are just a way of washing taxpayers' money.
Well, here's what the problem is. Without adherence to the protocols that are legislated, anything could happen. Mm-hmm. And we are left to speculate. See, then we are left to speculate whether this has just become another laundering exercise.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate that the powers that be don't use the mechanisms legislated for them to use to provide transparency, accountability, and honesty in governance. See, we wouldn't be so upset if you had already published the disclosures list and the summary of declarations for this year and the last year and the year before that. We wouldn't be so upset when we hear politicians say things so ridiculous as this. You are saying this in the midst of the fuel surcharge, the fuel charge rate increase policy and the glide path strategy. Mm-hmm. You have not indicated how the rates will continue to drop after February 2024. You have not indicated when the rates will return to what they were before October 2023. But what you have told us is that you have a whole bunch of other strategies to bring the cost of fuel down. Why don't you do the thing that the Prime Minister said would be done on October 4th, 2023, which was, this is a temporary increase. It is short term, leaving us to infer that in the short term, we will return to the original rate. Quite frankly, we don't know who is at fault here. We don't know if we have an incompetent CEO, someone who would get up in the public domain and say, well, it seems we've reached the point where people want their power on 100% of the time. We don't know if it's a neophyte cabinet minister, new to the ministry, new to being the substantive minister, I think. We don't know who is at fault. Is it poor reporting? Is it poor speech preparation? Is it poor presentation of the policies? Or is it that you don't have anyone to provide oversight? You don't have anyone to evaluate your performance. It is a horror story. Pumpkin Eater, we don't need Alfred Hitchcock. The story goes on to say, Colby Davis also tabled a report prepared by BPL CEO Siobhan Cambridge for the PM and then minister responsible for the power company, Alfred says, on July 30th, 2023. The report provides a review of Station A at Clifton Pier. Quote, by tabling this report, Bahamians can assess the situation for themselves. We have a clear mandate and commitment to get BPL back on track, and with your support, we are going to make it happen. I hope that when I get home after the show ends and I go online, I can find said report, right? Since you say, by tabling this report, Bahamians can assess the situation for themselves. Tell me, how quickly will we have access to the report? In the report, Cambridge noted that a catastrophic fire at Clifton Pier Power Station, Station C, on September 7, 2018, resulted in the immediate loss of 600 megawatts of generation capacity from two of the company's most efficient units. While a substantial loss for BPL, the impact wasn't immediately felt as the fire occurred near the end of the 2018 peak summer load season, he pointed out. What I would like to point out is that we have not had access to that particular report. In fact, somebody in some government somewhere had the audacity to say out loud that since the report has been leaked, we're not going to publish the rest of it. Formally. What a horror story. If you go to the Guardian Business, is that the business section?
Like you say, we don't need Halloween. We already got it just by opening the papers.
There you go. Another story, today's Tribune Business. PM told that BPL fuel hedge in the money. We're all out of time. That's a good horror story. You forget what time it is. I even forget what time I'm in. For a second there, I thought I was in pre-1992. Nuri.
I'm more scared now than when I came in.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I didn't mean to do that to you. Producer, take us out of here with Exuma Reincarnation.
In the coffin now. He's been dead 300 years. Wait. Look. Look. You know me on a boom. You know me on a boom. I can see straight through me. Wait now, wait. See, he winking one eye. He living, let's run. One, two, three, four, so much been here once before. One, two, three, four,
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau.